He was gaining more and more light, because in Acts 7, that verse we read, he says his brethren, he supposed his brethren understood. And, you know, that's where he was making an identification with them. Even though he was the son of Pharaoh's daughter, he was going to be, and he knew his brethren were being ill-treated. He was going to be identified with his brethren. He knew who this true family was. He knew that God had chosen him for that. And he is seeing all the reproaches of Christ and just all the suffering. He made this choice. And it was, as we said, it was a costly, calculated choice. But we really think, you know, he just, there was something in him that had caught him. And so he made this choice, and he goes out to visit his brethren. And we know the story. He had a lot of great plans, but they didn't go quite like he thought they would. He went out the first day and he killed the Egyptian, and he probably thought, wow, everybody will really know that I'm the deliverer now. And then he goes back the next day and he sees two of his brethren fighting, and he tries to break them apart. And they say, what, are you going to kill one of us too, like you did the Egyptian? So he knows he's been exposed. He knows he's been found out. And he, in fear, he flees out into the wilderness there, that wilderness of Midian. So his original plan becomes a total disaster. And, you know, God took him into the wilderness because he had to do a little bit of training to him. He had to make him a disciple. He had to unlearn some of the things of the world and learn the things of him. Moses made the right choice at that time, but he did it the wrong way. It's pretty similar to David. When David wanted to bring the ark back to Jerusalem, he made the right choice that first time, but he did it the wrong way. But fortunately, both of these, they were trained, and David got it right the next time, and that ark was able to be returned. And it's quite a lesson here between our good intentions, but doing things the wrong way. But we're thankful how Moses made that choice, and the Lord delivered him from any harm there, and he goes out into the wilderness. And it was an absolute choice. And we see when you make a choice, there's really two sides to that choice. It's refusing one thing, saying no to something, and choosing something else, saying yes to that. And he said no to all the treasures of this world and yes to the reproaches of Christ. And it reminded me of what the dear Apostle John was writing in his first epistle, when he was encouraging us there about loving not the world, because we can see this in his writings, how if when you compare the actions of Moses to what John wrote about of love not the world, nor the things of the world, that lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, this is really what, in a very living way, Moses went through. Moses, he said no to the lust of the flesh. I mean, he enjoyed all those passing pleasures of sin were available right at his fingertip. He was such a powerful man. Whatever he wanted, whatever person he wanted, he could have had, and nobody would have said anything to him. That lust of his eyes, all those riches of all the treasures of Egypt, he could have had any amount of treasure that he wanted was right there at his fingertips. And then that pride of life, the position, the prestige of being the son of daughter of Pharaoh's son, and maybe the ruler of Egypt. What a place of position, what a place of prestige. He had been in the royal palace all his life. But by God's grace, he said no to that. And he said yes to the things of the Lord. And what a challenge it is in this day and time now that we be those that are really not falling in love with the world. And it, sometimes when you're a little younger in the Lord, you you think we face these things. But I think some of us, as we've gotten a little bit older, we see these things never leave us. They're always out there trying to tempt us. Now, the specific temptation will change with different phases of life. But there's always those things of the world that are trying to attract our flesh and our eyes and the pride that we have within us and woo us back. But Moses, it said in that Hebrews 11:26, he was looking to the reward. Now, the reward wasn't a thing. That reward was a person. And that's the reward we have. Lord, that reward for his desire and his purpose. And he made this choice. He said he refused the things of the world and he chose the things of the Lord. And this, by making this choice, it revolutionized his life. His life was totally revolutionized. And again, he didn't know what was ahead, but he knew that God had called him and that God was there. And what was the very basis for this decision? I feel the basis for this decision was that he saw him who was invisible. And he was starting to gain more and more of an insight into the reality of this person. So we know Moses was out in the wilderness that next 40 years. And then you come to when he was about 80 years of age, and we have the story of that burning bush. And that burning bush not being consumed. And again, this was another huge turning point in Moses' life. It was the consummation of those 40 years in the wilderness. And it's that this is what we see is the first recorded message between the conversation, rather, between the Lord and Moses is at this bush. And this is where the Lord revealed himself to Moses as the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And the eyes of his heart were open to the living God. His eyes were opened. All those words that his mother had implanted within him, they were coming back and they were surfacing. They were becoming a reality in his heart. It was more than just an implanted word. It was becoming a living word. By seeing him, it was a living word within his heart and life. And his whole life was greatly transformed through this whole process. We could say that the burning bush was what we could call, this was Moses's, this is that experience. You remember on the day of Pentecost, Peter and the disciples were there, and after that, the Spirit came upon them. The people were wondering what was happening, and they were making fun and mocking, and then Peter stood up and said, this is that the prophet Joel talked about. This is that moment. And this is a that moment for Moses and his life. And I trust each of us has had, as we go through life, a this is that moment that we know this is the call God has upon us. This is the path we're to be going. And we're to be, it's maybe not in the specific details, but in the sensing within us that my life is to be lived for the Lord now. It might involve changing jobs. It might not. I mean, it might not involve no real outward change, but it's a heart change. Well, change from within that's saying, now I see what he's calling me to this, and I'm just fully being surrendered to him and have that this is that moment. At this point, God was no longer just the God of his parents, but he was his God, his personal God, that one who had called him and drawn him unto himself, and he was brought into this very special relationship. And that's really, when you see this transformation in Moses, he really went through a significant amount in the 40 years in the wilderness, because during that time, you know, when he left Egypt, all of his training, all of his might, all of his power that he had been brought up in and instructed in Egypt, he was taught to be self-sufficient. He was taught to be independent. It was a self-reliance, a self-confidence. There was an air about him. He had all the wisdom and ways of the world he knew. And the Lord had to deal with that. And he was unlearning the things of the world and learning the things of God. He unlearned his old self-directed ways. And the Lord brought him into a place of the Lord being the all-sufficient one. The Lord being the only one he could rely upon. He didn't have a confidence in himself. He had a new master. He had a new life that he was going to be living by. And so we can call this 40 years that Moses had in the wilderness, it was the great divide in his life. There was truly, you see at the beginning, the old man and all of that independence and self-centeredness of the world. And then you see the new man, utterly dependent and cast upon the Lord. He said, I can't even speak. I can't do anything. That's the working of the cross in Moses' life. where Moses must decrease and the Lord must increase. And really, throughout the rest of Moses' life, we literally see a progressive revelation of more and more of the Lord. And, you know, it's important for us to realize that the revelation that we get from the Lord as we see him, it is a progressive thing. And if we don't realize how progressive this revelation and our seeing of the Lord is, it can be frustrating at times because we want to see everything. And the enemy will say, oh, you don't see anything. But no, there's a wonderful proverb that I love. It's in Proverbs 4. It says, the path of the righteous is like the light of dawn that shines brighter and brighter until the full day. That's really the spirit of revelation within us. That's our seeing the Lord as we go on that path of the righteous. That, you know, when the sun comes up in the dawn, that first the sun comes up, I was going to say as the sun comes up over the ocean, but I'm on the wrong coast for you guys. So as the sun would come up over a mountain or something, but you see, it's so wonderful, but then it gets brighter and brighter and brighter, and there's a fullness there. And isn't that our experience with the Lord? As we walk through this life with him, depending on how many years we've been walking with him, isn't there there's a brightness to him? There's a fullness to him. There's more and more of him. It just keeps shining brighter and brighter. And we're, praise God, it'll keep shining as long as we're on this earth. It'll always be a brighter and brighter. But praise God, there will be a full day when we're all together united with him. And that's the glory of what the Lord has for us. You know, it had Moses was held for that 40 years in the wilderness by seeing him who was invisible. And now he has a newfound confidence, and he returns to Egypt. You know, it's interesting that Moses left Egypt. At that point, he was fearful. He goes back now. He goes right to Pharaoh, and there's a courage there. Because, brother and sister, vision gives courage. Vision overcomes terror and fear. The more we see of the Lord, whether we call it revelation, vision, or whatever, the more that the reality of who he is in our hearts and lives, there's a confidence we have there because that is a solid and sure foundation. And the words that Moses are using now, they're coming from a new source. There's a new origin of those words. They're not his words. They're God's divine words that he speaks in a power to really lead him into the fullness there. We see later, you know, Moses, he never again used any of his natural abilities unless God had caused him to, but he would, we know that Moses could have done a great job building that tabernacle, but he didn't use any of his architectural skills. He did it exactly according to the way the Lord had told him. He followed that pattern on the mount. So as he goes back, and we're not going to go into all of the plagues and everything, but we see how he went back, and by the God's sovereignty, he works among the people there, and they're brought about a great deliverance. And as he leaves going out, the next 40 years, this last 40 years of his life is actually characterized there in Hebrews 11:27. He's characterized by the word endured. He endured by seeing him as invisible. It means enduring there means going through various trials and being steadfast, because, you know, when you have this great salvation and that you think everything's going to be wonderful and the enemy has been defeated, the Lord has wiped out Pharaoh's army, you're there in the wilderness, you're headed to the promised land. And pretty soon we see what do you have to endure? He had to endure grumbling. He had to endure rebellion. He had to do complaining. Over and over again, there was an enduring there, but there was a patience in Moses that was not of his natural self. But the grace of God had kept him. And even when the people were going to just try to destroy him and turn against him, he's interceding for them. You know, God wanted to destroy these people at one time, and Moses pleads for the people of God. And because he knew the Lord. He knew God's heart. He knew God's purpose. And he even endured when he was told no. You know, he messed up that one time and was told you can't go in. And praise God, he had seen something. He was so captured by the Lord that even though he couldn't go into the promised land, he was going to continue to be faithful all the days of his life. What an incredible man Moses had become, because he saw him who was invisible. You know, during that time in the wilderness, probably one of the most dramatic events that occurred with the Lord and with Moses was that time on the mount. We see that time on the mount where Moses was up there, and the Lord revealed two things to him. He revealed to him those 10 commandments, or the 10 words, the Lord's heart and his word. He also revealed to him the pattern for the tabernacle, his desire to dwell among men. And this was, the Lord was really showing Moses everything upon his heart, showing him his heart, his purpose. Here's my word, my life to live by. And this, I desire to be dwelling. I want a place where I can dwell among you. And, you know, when I was thinking about that and all that Moses went through, and as it relates to us, I was thinking about New Testament terms, and I was drawn to the book of Revelation and the Apostle John again. Now, John was on the Isle of Patmos, and why was he there? Why was John a prisoner on the Isle of Patmos? He was there for two reasons: the Word of God and the testimony of Jesus. And isn't that what the Lord revealed to Moses on the Mount? He revealed to him the Word of God. He revealed to him the testimony of Jesus, that desire of dwelling amongst the people of God. The Lord didn't hold back anything from Moses. He revealed his full heart. Everything that John was going through, everything that Paul saw in Ephesians, the Lord had shown to Moses. Maybe he was just seeing more in part, not in the fullness of some that others saw later on, but there was something of God's full heart and purpose, because he saw him who was invisible, and he was kept by that. And the more he was kept, the Lord kept reinforcing and showing him more and more of the precious things that the Lord wanted to reveal him. The revelation of the Lord that Moses had, he was captured. And that's why we see there's a beautiful testimony at the end of Moses' life. At the end of Moses' life, and we know Moses lived to be about 120 years of age. And that wonderful testimony of him at the age of 120, that testimony in Deuteronomy, that although Moses was 120 years old when he died, his eye was not dim nor his vigor abated. Now, I think to all of us, 120 is seeming younger every day. It used to see afar off, but we're seeing it nearer and nearer now. A lot of us are well over halfway there. But we keep pressing on. And it's precious how this is the Lord's testimony. Now, I'm sure there's a physical aspect to this testimony, but I think the real thing he's saying here is a spiritual testimony. His eye wasn't dim. That the vision of the Lord and his purpose was not dim. It had stayed clear throughout Moses' life, that where he saw him who was invisible, there was that light shining brighter and brighter, and Moses was approaching that full day, and that stayed very clear before him. And that's the call that he has for us. I know many of our natural eyes are fading, and that's harder and harder to see. If we're all honest, I've got a couple of magnifying glasses around my office here, Sharon, so I know I can understand why you're using a magnifying glass too. So our natural eyes might dim, but how about our vision of the Lord, his purpose? Would that not grow dim, but just keep going brighter and brighter? You know, that was one of the tragedies of with young Samuel. What was the testimony of Eli? It says Eli's sight was dim. And you could see by the spiritual condition around him that it was a spiritual darkness. It was just it wasn't shining bright. That little flame of the fire was almost going out. Brothers and sisters, in our as we get a little bit older, as we're pressing on and everything, may the Lord keep our vision of him strong, clear, not dim. And we see this purpose he's called us to, we can all finish well. Yeah. And also that it says, nor his vigor abated. Now, again, I'm not sure this is speaking so much literally about his physical condition, but I think in the spiritual realm, his freshness and his zeal for the Lord's heart and purpose never failed. You can see throughout that time, as after the Lord appeared to him, there was a freshness, there was a zeal to him. We have to remember that when Moses went back to see Pharaoh, that second time, he was 80 some, he was 80, and then they're going through the wilderness, and you know that. But there was a freshness and a zeal that inspired ones, that kept ones pressing on, and that same spirit is what is able to keep us. You know, it can sound, again, just to use the phrase we started with, how was Moses able to endure all this? He was able to do this because he saw him who was invisible. It wasn't anything within himself, but he was captured. I know the autobiography of Norman Grubb is Once Captured, No Escape. And we have various opinions on Norman Grubb, but I love the title to the book. It's that once you're captured, there's no escape. And that was Moses' life. He was captured. He saw him who was invisible. He was captured. There was no escape. And he knew God's heart and purpose. He came into that more and more of how God desired to dwell among his people. And I believe that we have that sensing also. I believe that's why we're even having this time right now, why we do it week to week, why we care about one another, why we have prayer meetings, why we have Bible study, why we're in contact with dear saints. Because we know God's heart is for not just each individual, but for us to have a relationship together. We're a related people. We're the family of God. And in that, relationships come forth and they blossom. And there's a caring for one another. And we see Moses had that care for the people of God. And thankfully, Moses was one who followed him fully. And he was faithful in all God's house. What a precious testimony there is there in Hebrews, how he was faithful in all God's house. And, you know, it's interesting, that little tabernacle, God, Moses saw that little tabernacle far more than just a little tent. If you ever look at an exact replica of the tabernacle, we were up in the Amish country, and they have one there, and you around Lancaster, Pennsylvania, and they have an exact replica of the tabernacle, and it's not that impressive unless you know at that point in time that was the house of God. That was the dwelling place of God among men. And brothers, today, we're the dwelling place of God among men. Yes. May we never despise that. Amen. May we come into seeing that and appreciating it more and more. And by his grace, may we also endure as seeing him who is invisible.
That's right.
We don't know, as we said, all the times and everything that are before us. We don't know what we're going to have to face because they change all the time. But we know who is before us. And we know his precious, magnificent promises. He will keep us in spite of whatever we have to be going through.
Amen.
So may this word from Moses encourage my heart through these days that we've been going through. It's encouraged my heart in a very personal way. Moses endured as seeing him as invisible. And I want to just pray that for all of our hearts, it could be an encouragement to us. So let's have a word of prayer as we close. Lord, we are thankful that you have revealed yourself to us. Lord, we look upon a table. We saw a cup and a loaf. But thankfully, because of who you are and what you've done in our lives, we saw him who was invisible.
Amen.
We came to your word, Lord. Its word is just words on a piece of paper in a book. But as you eyes of our hearts are opened in this book, we see him who is invisible. Lord, we just continue to pray that our eyes would be seeing beyond the things of this world. We'd be looking up. And as we see you, Lord, we would see more and more of the greatness of our God, the almighty sovereignty of our God, the never-ending loving kindness of our God, and the one who will keep us all the way to the end, till the full shining of that day. In thy name we pray. Amen.
Open the time up here for a couple more prayers before we close.
Yes.
I'm going to pray. Padre Celestial, te damos gracias por esta mañana. Gracias, Padre, porque bendices a cada uno de mis hermanos en esta reunión. Gracias por tu palabra, por usar a Mac. Bendícelo. Y, Padre, te alabamos en esta mañana porque has hablado a nuestros corazones y a nuestra vida y nos has enseñado sobre Moisés, que debemos de confiar, de tener fe y de todas estas cualidades, Padre. Gracias porque nos enseñas a través de Moisés y yo te doy gracias por todo lo que nos estás enseñando. Quédate con nosotros, bendice a cada uno de mis hermanos, bendice a todos los que están conectados en esta reunión, Padre. Gracias por tu Espíritu Santo y por lo que vas a hacer en nuestras vidas. En el nombre de Cristo Jesús, amén.
Amen. Amen. Ernie, can you recap that for us?
He just was thanking God for his blessing all of us, for especially for you, Mac, and for the things that he showed us about Moses.
Yes.
And just asked that God would continue to bless our lives.
Amen. Amen.
Lord, we want to thank you again for the width, the breadth of your word. We thank instruction and light. Lord, as we hear from the prophet, I found your word and it was the joy and rejoicing of my heart. Now, Lord, we ask that you'll make these things more real to us in these days. We thank you that you brought us to a place where we are more alone with you than ever, perhaps. Lord, won't you make these not wasted days, but days that are profitable for your kingdom. We thank you so much for being with us. We thank you so much for your word. Lord, we thank you so much for the new covenant. We just worship and praise you and commit our time. And we just thank you for being our burden bearer.
Amen.
And
Father, we thank you for the fact that your word is able to to cross language barriers. Yeah. And we thank you. We thank you for our brother this morning and for that good word that he shared with us about you.
Amen.
And Father, we thank you for our sister in Ciudad Mexico who Amen. Could that word could cross the language barrier.
Amen.
Thank you for the milagro that she could enter in.
Amen.
And that with the brethren there with her. Lord, this is such a good day. Thank you again for the Lord Jesus. And Amen. Thank you for our brother coming to us from Virginia.
Thank you, Lord.
It's so good, our Father. We can't thank you enough, but we do thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
Amen. Greg, you want to give us the announcements?
Sure. A special announcement is next Sunday at 2 p.m. At the Pointy Valley Fellowship building, we will be decorating Christmas stockings for the Door of Faith Orphanage. So that will be next Sunday at 2 p.m. at the building on 5th and Don Julian, if you'd like to participate. If you have any questions about it, you can contact Jan Myers or Debbie Brown. And then we have, tonight we have a brothers meeting at 6:30 over Zoom. And then on Tuesday we have our Bible study at Sharon's, both live and it's Zoomed at 7:30. And then on Thursday is our prayer meeting at 7 p.m. That, remember, that's at 7 p.m., not 7:30. 7 p.m. on Thursday is a Zoom prayer meeting. And then Saturday.
That's Thanksgiving.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Thank you. So we haven't talked about it, but
we're not gonna have a Thanksgiving prayer meeting.
We're not gonna do that. So
we can pray in front of our turkeys.
So we will make that decision here. We won't have a prayer meeting on Thursday. Then on thanks, Steve. And then on Saturday morning is a brother's prayer meeting at 8 a.m. on Zoom. Anything else you might want to mention?
So we do want to encourage those that go Saturday. I'm sure there's going to be some distancing. Wear a mask.
Sunday.
Oh, Sunday at 2 o'clock.
I'm
sorry. I thought it was Saturday.
Let me double.
So plan to do distancing. Bring a mask. Debbie, is it going to be outside in the parking lot or is it going to be in the building?
I'm not 100% sure, but I believe they were talking about doing it outside.
Okay. Well, we have plenty of room inside, but just everyone be advised that we should try to adhere to the guidelines. So, Debbie, thanks for taking care of all of this. Anything else?
Happy Thanksgiving, everybody.
Yeah. Bye-bye. Have a great one.
Thanks, Mac. Good Take to be care. With y'all. Have a good Thanksgiving.
Thank you. Take care.
Bye.
Thank
you. Bye.
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 Bye-bye. Hi and bye to everybody. This is Bob.
Ben, it was nice to see you again. It's been a few years. So glad to see your growing family there.
Yes.
Adios.
Blessed week. Blessed week.
Yeah. To you. Blessed week. Love you guys.
Okay. Love you.
That was too quick.
Hi, Bonnie. Is Bonnie there? Yeah.
Bonnie's here.
Hi.
Yeah. Hey, good to see you.
Thanks, you too. Thank you for sharing.
Okay. Where do you live now?
We're in Vancouver, Washington, right by Portland, Oregon.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I've visited Portland, so, okay. All right. Well, good. It's good seeing you.
Thanks.
Phil, thank you for everything. Appreciate your coordination.
Love you, brother.
Thank you. All right.
Thank you. Thank the Lord.
All right.
Good to see you, Mark.
Yeah, Mark, good to see you.
Jonathan and Isaac. Esther.
Hi, Kathy.
Hi.
Blessings.
Bye, Phil and Debbie.
Bye. Bye, sir.
Hi, Esther.
Bye.
Bye, Bonnie.